Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:02 British Summer Time. Today is September 28th. Well, today we had a relatively mixed day on stock markets from the point of view that in Asia things were relatively weak in the morning, with the Nikkei down over just 2.5% and testing the 10,000 level. The Japanese banks also remain relatively weak, and certainly the strength of the yen over the last couple of days in particular is having a contributory effect on that particular market. But elsewhere in Asia, we also saw, for example, that the Hang Seng and the A-share indices were both down today, the Hang Seng down over 2%. And in elsewhere in Asia, the markets were relatively weak. But with M&A activity and with news on that front coming through in Europe, the majority of European indices closed up in excess of 2%. The DAX in Germany was up almost 3%. And these are powerful upward dynamics, particularly for in markets such as the DAX finding support above 5,500 and the FTSE finding support above 5,000. And that positive tone fed all the way through into the close on Wall Street, with Xerox in particular making headlines on the M&A front. And you had the Dow up just over 1%, and the DAX, sorry, the S&P and the Nasdaq up over 1.5%, the Nasdaq almost 2%. When we look at the wider stock markets, we continue to see that the vast majority of globally significant stock indices have consistent progressions of higher reaction lows, which really would need to be taken out before we can question the integrity of these advances. And in the meantime, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The potential for increased M&A activity in the equities market is supportive of the uptrends that are in place. And if we continue to see that companies are evidence that companies are looking around and saying that, well, maybe they should try to take over whatever target they've got now rather than a year from now when potentially they could be more expensive, then that's a fundamental support or a technical support for this advance that it has been running since March. And if there is the confirmation of increased M&A activity, then we can also anticipate that other potential targets will have a premium attached to them, and that will also help to keep this market going for a while longer. So really quite positive action. And as I said, the progression of higher lows would really need to be taken out. And if we get follow through tomorrow and some of these markets pushing onwards to new high ground, well, then we could have another higher reaction low to monitor. It might be a little bit early to be thinking about that at the moment, but certainly very positive tones on European and US stock markets, and there's a good chance that that is going to feed through into Asia tomorrow. On the bond front, we saw that US Treasuries were a bit firmer in here today. We're seeing that the 30-year is pushing up to the upper side of the range that it's been in for much of the last 6 weeks. And gilts were a little bit weaker. Bunds were relatively steady in here. The dollar was a little bit firmer in here, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And we didn't have major moves on dollar crosses today, other than against the yen, which had a rather large move earlier on in the session, but closed pretty flat on the day. And a very similar story with euro pound, where the euro got considerably stronger very early on in the session, but gave up almost the entire advance by the close. And that prompted me to raise my stop on my euro long, or my hedge euro long. Looking at the industrial metals, the outlook today was relatively quiet. Copper continues to test the lower side of its range. Nickel was a little bit weaker. Aluminium is testing the recent lows as well. And elsewhere in the commodity sector, we see relatively quiet action. Gold was almost unchanged on the day. We had a look at 986 and was as high as 996, but closed out the day relatively unchanged. Silver was a little bit firmer, and platinum was relatively unchanged as well. So what the main action today was most definitely in stock markets. On the commodity front, the fact that the dollar has steadied somewhat over the last couple of weeks has put the brakes on a large number of these commodity markets. And particularly in the precious metals, we see that gold continues to consolidate in the region of this $1,000 level. It did race to get up to $1,000, going from 950 to just over $1,000 in less than a week. And it remains within this consolidation, and it will continue to look like a consolidation, provided we don't see a move very much below the $950 level over the coming weeks or indeed months. Provided that gold can hold this region in and around the $1,000 level, there remains the considerable potential that it will be able to sustain an upward break above $1,000 and fulfill the potential that many of us think that it has. And in that type of eventuality, there is significant room for precious metal related vehicles to outperform, and in that class, certainly silver, platinum, and the gold shares are very highly rated. What we also see in the currency markets is an increased amount of nervousness. There was headlines today from New Zealand talking about the strength of the currency potentially limiting the ability of the economy to recover. So we are getting into a period where some of these commodity currencies have had some extremely large moves against the US dollar, particularly, or indeed against the pound. But they are getting to a point where the strength of their currencies is beginning to become somewhat problematic for governments. And we need to be alert to the potential that they may begin to attempt to talk down their currencies. That could be a risk in the short term for some of the commodity-related currencies in particular. Over the medium to longer term, however, the bullish case that has led so many people into these currencies over the last few months still remains intact. They do remain some of the prime contenders to raise interest rates first and to lead the world in terms of their economic growth. And certainly, because they're commodity related, and because if inflation is going to appear anywhere, the first place it's likely to appear is in the commodity complex in asset prices, then commodity related economies could well face inflationary type pressures first and be forced to raise their interest rates not only first, but more than they might ordinarily feel comfortable with. And that would provide currency investors with a larger yield differential versus some of the very low interest rate environments that are present in the UK, Europe, and the UK and Japan. So while we have the short-term risk that we could have central banks attempting to talk down their currencies, then that's probably going to be a buying opportunity for some of these commodity currencies on a medium to longer term basis, because they are from much sounder economies. And while the strength of their currencies might be an impediment, they are in a much more healthy overall scenario than some of the problem-ridden economies that we have, and particularly that of the USA. The US Treasury market remains within this range and at really quite elevated levels, up in the 121 level. I mean, if you think about it, you're buying a 30-year bond at par, and or it's redeemable at par, and you're paying 121, almost 122 for it. And that being the case, you really do have to have a very bearish view if you're considering holding something like that for the long term. I can understand if people are thinking that there is the potential that stock markets may sell off at some point in the near-ish future, and they want to have some sort of hedge for a short-term pullback. But beyond the potential that some of these government bonds could firm as a demand for safe havens increases in any kind of reversionary type scenario, the stronger likelihood is that government bonds are going to be a good short on any sustained or any type of short to medium term rally that we get in that particular asset class, and that's likely to remain the case for a good number of years to come. And I think with that, just a word on the oil market, because it was firmer in here by just over a dollar today, so finding support in the region of the $66 level on that front month contract. And natural gas was a little bit weaker in here today, so it's gone up there and it's had a look at the $4 level, and it's consolidating in the region of $4. And this really is will it or won't it time, because it's either going to be able to sustain above a move above $4, which on the front month would break the progression of lower highs, or on the second month continuation chart that would be a move above $5, and the contango really is quite wide there. So it's comparative levels on the front and second months. If it can sustain a move above $4 in the front month, that would break the progression of lower highs. It would really question the integrity of the downtrend and suggest that demand is coming back in a more convincing manner. On the other hand, if we see a failure up here, then what we would have seen is an impressive short covering rally, and probably not an awful lot more than that. And it could point towards either a prolonged period of base formation extension, or we could see lower levels being tested in the medium term. So a pivotal point for natural gas, and certainly one worth watching, because if it can sustain the move above $4 in that front month contract, then there is significant room for that ratio against oil to contract considerably from where it is. It's already contracted quite significantly, but it can come back down an awful lot more if we see natural gas beginning to outperform in a more convincing fashion. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.